Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to, again, political editor, my colleague here at Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, of course, founder of Urban Milwaukee, Jeremy Janine, and ahead of time, a big thanks to my very next guest, Jason Stein. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Are you, Jason, I get this wrong every time you come on. Are you the ED or are you the president? With you and Rob's positions moving around, I seem to always get this wrong.
I am the president, but just as long as I'm not late for dinner, it's fine.
This is, I have been saying that for a long time. My full name, Margaret. People are, do you prefer Margaret, matey? I do not care as long as I'm not late for dinner. So we have that in common, my friend. You're certainly not late for this conversation about these local referenda that appeared across the state on many ballots on April 1st. Let's start with the schools referenda, because as we are all looking to the federal government and the Trump administration and this very explicit plan to dismantle the Department of Education, which is going to put funding coming through various federal departments, it would, by any account, make it much more complicated for local school districts to get funding, makes what occurred on April 1st all the more crucially, potentially existentially important for many school districts. Tell us what we're seeing, like just trend-wise across the state over the last few years when it comes to school funding referenda, and then what happened this past April 1st.
Absolutely. So if you look at the votes that took place in the February primary and the April 1st general election, school referenda, there were 94 of these ballot questions out there for voters, and 53 of them passed. So that is about 56% approval rate. That is a little bit lower than in some recent years. At the same time, even though the approval rates for school referenda have dropped a little bit, the overall number of these ballot questions that are going to voters is at the largest it's ever been. And so there are more in even numbered years when there's either a gubernatorial or a presidential election on the ballot. But for an odd numbered year, this was where you just have a spring election, this was a large number, and a number of them passed. We're seeing more and more of them be for districts' day-to-day operating budget as opposed to for capital projects like renovating or building a school. And the other thing we're seeing is that this year we found that 36 of the referenda, or more than a third, were what you could call retries of a previously failed referendum. And of those retries, 17, or just under half, were successful. So we're finding that, and maybe this is a sign of the increasing pressure that districts feel, that in the past, if you had a district go to referendum and fail, that tended to be the end of it. Now, increasingly, we're seeing more districts put those questions back to voters in some form or another, even if it's somewhat modified, and more districts come to terms with voters in that now if a district chooses to go back to retry, more often than not, eventually the retry is succeeding, whether or not if it's on the first try or the second try, what have you. So, that's kind of a new phenomenon that we're seeing, and we're still wrapping our arms around what it means.
Well, there's two things that you said there, Jason, that I want our listeners to cue in on, because they are in combination, I think, a harbinger of the fact that we've entered into this sort of like new era of school funding referenda, which are these two facts. One, more and more school funding referenda are for operating budgets versus capital expenditures. If you're not an accounting dork, don't worry. Jason and I are. A capital expenditure is infrastructure. It's your building, that kind of stuff that are infrequent but very expensive. if you can think about that, folks, that makes sense. Okay, you'd have this referendum. Maybe it's not a permanent increase in property tax. It's for this one particular purpose. It's to avoid having to borrow and have debt that you then have to finance over a long term for very expensive capital projects to build your new school, right? When referenda are funding operating budgets, that is the everyday expenses, the books, right, the salaries, the payroll, the busing costs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's thing one. Now referenda are going towards operating budgets, which right, shows you, oh my goodness, school districts are really in a pinch if they have to have these referenda just to fund operating budgets. The second thing that you mentioned is that they have to come back again and again and again. Those two things right, aren't just independent, they're related. If you have to go to a referenda to fund your basic school district operations and voters say no, guess what? You're going to come back because you need the money to fund your basic operating expenses. Is it fair to say, Jason, that we are indeed in this new era of school funding referenda, where you're, whether you're urban or rural, north, south, east, or west, these are just much more frequent and larger in scale and much more existential to the existence of some of these school districts and their relative success?
Yes. I mean, now we're in a world where more districts have passed a referenda, let's say, within the past 4 or 5 years that have not. So it is becoming a very common feature. And, you know, the operating referenda also have two kinds. One is a permanent, right, they call it a recurring referendum. Another is just a temporary, or they call it non-recurring. Typically, those will be for something like 4 years. And so that's one reason that you see many of these come back and come back, because if a district does something for 4 years, then often when that 4 year period is up, they're once again in the position of either having to make substantial cuts or go to referendum again. So that's another reason why you see these things come back. And it can even happen with permanent referenda as well, where even after that fully phases in over 4 years, then the district is going back for another round of permanent referenda, as you saw, as we've seen in both Madison and Milwaukee.
And Arrowhead, another school district, took a second bite at the apple this April 1st. That referenda didn't pass. They're not really sure what they're going to do about it. But overall, Jason, it continues to be the trend in Wisconsin that school funding referenda, the majority of them pass. People feel a pretty strong commitment to educating their kids. Wisconsin's always been a state that has prioritized education, at least in what we say, maybe not in always how we budget. But when we turn to municipal funding referendum, which are coming up with greater frequency now on our ballots, those are a little bit different. Tell us what they're generally for and how do those fare and how did they fare this past April 1st?
Sure. They typically are for operations. I mean, they can do, you know, the village of Cottage Grove, for example, in Dane County had a referendum, I believe, to both build and operate a library. But typically, you'll see more of these in recent years for operations, and you're seeing increasingly some larger communities do it. So in November of 2024, City of Madison and several other Madison suburbs passed referenda. The City of Racine here now in April passed a pretty substantial referendum for emergency medical services. A lot of these municipal referendum tend to be for public safety services of some kind, whether it's law enforcement or fire or EMS. But, you know, you also see some being done for just sustaining general operations of the local government. There were 14 in February and April this year, and of those, 6 passed. So the majority failed. It's typical that municipal referenda do not get put to ballots in the same numbers as schools, and they tend to pass at lower rates.
Here's what I want people to think about a bit. When you do see municipal referenda, as Jason just explained, it is often, most frequently, tied to public safety. If you ask yourself why, this makes sense. Most people will say, we support our police. That I'm just speaking in great generalities, that we support our firefighters and first responders. We understand their essentialness. Those also are often in municipal budgets some of the single largest chunks of expenditures, whether it's healthcare, their pension costs. So while it is easy to say, I support the police and fire in my community, it is harder to fund the full panoply of benefits and pension and health included. They have earlier retirements, as well as just the infrastructural, the engine costs, the firehouses, the district stations. So again, you're seeing these sorts of local funding. These are tax increases on the ballot for things that are generally popular, right? Otherwise, these would never, ever pass. So again, tied a lot of the times to law enforcement. And of course, we've been talking about school referendum. With the time we've got left, Jason, here's my real big picture question. Some economists are predicting recession. When growth slows, there are less tax receipts, less tax revenues. What can we expect if state tax revenues are down overall due to the Trump tanking of our economy, at least those words, not Jason's, and when we see local governments and local school districts struggling to make ends meet, as well as I'll throw in their potential funding cuts, et cetera, from the feds as well?
Sure, absolutely. So one, in Wisconsin, we are heavily reliant on the property tax to fund local government and just the overall state and local services. That does make us a little bit more reliable and stable in the event of recession. But, you know, there can still be impacts to local government from decreased state aid if you see, you know, drops in corporate income, sales, and income tax.
Folks, that's Jason Stein. He is the president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, joins us to make each and every one of us smarter. Thanks to Jason. When we come back, I'm going to dig into the major Supreme Court decisions that have dropped over the last 18-24 hours, what they might mean for your civil rights. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.